I've been preaching now, this is the third week, on learning leadership from the best. I believe everything rises and falls on leadership. I believe that. And I told my wife as I left the house this morning, I said, Barbara, you're a leader. You're a leader. Because leadership is influence. And the average person, just an average person like you, like me, in our lifetimes will influence 10,000 people. So if we're all leaders, whether it's the mom, whether it's the businessman, whether it's the coach, whether it's the nurse, we're all leaders. If we're all leaders, why not learn leadership from the greatest leader who ever lived, that being Jesus Christ? Amen. And we learned in week one that leaders are servants. If we're really going to lead folks, you've got to be willing to serve. That's what leaders do. They're willing to serve. And we talked about last week that leaders have a positive faith. They have a positive faith. They're faith-filled people. They believe in the future, that a brighter day is coming. And today I want to talk to you about the third message. It's entitled, Great Leaders Are Givers. And when I'm talking about givers, you can give of your time, you can give of your talent, you can give of your personality, you can give of your resources, you can give of your energy, you can give of your health. But this is what I know. Every great leader, whether it's a mom or whether it's the president of a company, every great leader is a giver. I want to invite you to stand and take your Bible to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Our scripture reads like this. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. A person who I have great respect for is a man by the name of Mark Rick. I remember being on one occasion in Coach Rick's office, and we were concluding the meeting, and I said, Coach Rick, is there something that I can pray for you about? And on making that statement, Coach Rick got up, and he walked toward the door. And I thought, is Coach Rick leaving? I hope I didn't offend him. But as he walked to the door, he simply just shut the door. And he shut the door, and he came back, and he got down on his knees. And on his knees, he lifted up his head, and he said, Pastor Benny, here are a couple things that you can pray for me about. I read a few weeks ago that Coach Rick gave all of his players at the University of Miami a personalized Bible. He said, you don't have to take it, but it's just something that I want to give to all of you young men. And all the young men took it. When he first went to the University of Miami as head coach just a few months back, he noticed that they needed an indoor playing field. And Coach Rick noticed they didn't have one. And every coach before Coach Rick had said, we need an indoor playing field. But Coach Rick did something different than all the coaches prior to him. He said, I want to give the first $1 million toward building the field. My wife and I have prayed about it, and we want to give the first $1 million toward making this a reality. And what Coach Rick exemplified, ladies and gentlemen, is what I know and what you know. All leaders are givers. Leaders that are great leaders, they're not takers, they're givers. And Jesus said it best in Acts 20 and 35 when Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I know what some of you are thinking. Sure, Coach Rick gave that money. Georgia had to pay him all that money when they got rid of him. And Coach Rick had plenty of money. But I want to remind you of something. If you make $37,000 a year in your household, that is to say, if you and your wife, you and your family bring $37,000 a year into the household. You're in the top 4% of the people in our world. Of the better than 7 billion people in our world, if in your household every year comes $37,000, you're in the top 4% of the people in our world. So I want to say something to every one of us. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we're greatly blessed. Whether we acknowledge it or not, ladies and gentlemen, many times we're grumbly hateful when we ought to be humbly grateful. And God's been good to every one of us. See, I learned a long time ago, it's not what you'd do with a million if a million were your lot. It's what we're doing with a dollar and quarter that we've already got. Now, the Lord addressed this issue in the book of Malachi. And I want us to see three or four things that are right here in this scripture. The first thing I want us to see is this. I want us to see God's apparent problem with us. God's apparent problem with us. Now in verse 8, he said, "You've robbed me." But if you look at the problem, folks, the problem's not in verse 8. The problem's in verse 7. In verse 7, he said, "You've gone away from mine ordinances." See, let me tell you something, folks. Finances are never about financial problems. Usually they're root problems. They're spiritual problems. And when I'm not doing what I ought to be doing with my finances, it's usually that I've gone away from God. And that's what happened to the people here. They had gotten away from the Lord. Now, there's two things I want you to see. Two things I want you to understand. Number one is the perspective. The perspective. See, here's the perspective. Psalms 24 and 1 says this. "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." It's a great day in our lives when we realize that all money is tainted. It taint yours and it taint mine. It's a great day in our lives when we realize, folks, that everything we have is God's. God owns it all. We don't own anything. The Lord is just allowing us to be stewards. He's just allowing us to enjoy it for a little while. But everything we have actually is God's. See, if I ask you this question, if you made $500 a week, and I ask you the question, how much of it's God's? Some of you would think, I'm going to give the preacher the answer that he wants. I'm going to say $50 of it's God's. But let me tell you something, that you'd be wrong. The answer is all of it's God's. Because everything we have, folks, is God's. Everything that we enjoy, the Lord has given us. Whether it be our family, whether it be our health, whether it be our homes, whether it be our clothes, whether it be our jobs. Everything we have, God has given us. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know, I need $100. Don, where you at, Bubba? Charlie, you sat there too. Max, you never moved a muscle. Rick, I would have thought for sure. Boy, you find out who your friends are. Jimmy Hickenbotham, he's welded to that pew back there. Thank you, Don. It's job security. Now, here's the reality. Don's not that generous. Before I walked in that door to preach, I handed Don this $100. And Don didn't have any problem giving it. And the reason why he didn't have any problem giving it, ladies and gentlemen, is because I gave it to Don before. And let me tell you something. We don't have any problem giving to the Lord when we acknowledge everything we have, He's given us. When we, yes, come on, don't. When we acknowledge everything we have, God's given us. And that's the perspective that we need to have. But look at the pointedness in this message. You've robbed me. You've robbed me. When we don't give and when we don't tithe like we should, we rob God. Now think about this, folks. When we don't do what God tells us to do, we rob God. Now look, when we don't do what God tells us to do, we rob others. You say, Brother Benny, how on earth could I be robbing others? At Rock Springs Church, we have a medical clinic for people who don't have medical insurance. At Rock Springs Church, we have a potter's house for these young ladies here that have battled drugs and alcohol, been on the streets, perhaps been in jail, need a place to go. Now they have a place to go. At Rock Springs Church, we have a men's home for men that have nowhere else to go. At Rock Springs Church, we have a ministry, Impact Christian Ministry, that feeds and clothes and provides care for homeless people. At Rock Springs Church, we have all these ministries. Do you realize, folks, when we don't give like we should, we rob other people. So we rob God, we rob other people. But think about this, folks. Could you imagine me robbing myself? I can't imagine taking a billy club and hitting myself over the head and then trying to get into my wallet. But you know, that's exactly what I do. Because God said, Benny, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. But I can't bless you. I can't get it to you because I can't get it through you. I really want to bless you. But Benny, I can't bless you because if I bless you, I'll violate my word. And I can't violate my word even to bless you. Oh, folks, don't get quiet on me while I'm preaching good. It's the book. See, folks, it's God's apparent problem with us. God said, I'll bless you. Giving it should be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall all men give into your bosoms. You said, Pastor Benny, have you always done well in this area? No. I'll tell you, I was a lot like my uncle. My uncle was one of the stingiest men I've ever met. And folks, let me tell you something. When I first got in church, I wasn't a giver. So you didn't tithe, Brother Benny? Oh, no. No. I didn't. It came through realizing, folks, that if I really want to be blessed, I've got to do what God says. I've got to obey God and leave the consequences to Him. See, it's God's apparent problem with us, but don't you see something else? God's appointed program for us. God's appointed. Now, look what verse 10 says. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The plan. The plan. Bring ye all the tithes. What'd the wise men do? They brought their gifts to Jesus. What'd the lady with the alabaster box do? She brought her gift to Jesus. And this is all I'm going to say, and I'm not going to camp here long. Folks, it's hard to bring your tithes into the storehouse if on Sunday you're not in the storehouse. It's hard to bring your tithes to the storehouse if on Sunday you're at the Perry Fair. It's hard to bring your tithes to the storehouse if on Sunday you're watching them go around the track at the raceway. It's hard to bring your tithes to the storehouse if you're hunting Bambi on Sunday, amen? I mean, I'm just being honest, folks. It's hard to do it. It's hard to bring your tithes to the storehouse if you're still depressed from the Georgia game. It's just hard to do. The plan. But then the person. Look what he says in verse 10. Bring ye. Now, hey, if the Bible says you should not commit adultery, if the Bible says you should not bear false witness, is that for everybody? So I, you should not commit adultery. That's for Terry, but that's not for me. Barbara said, yes, it is for you. Well, listen, Bring ye. So if I'm preaching the book, folks, that's for the 16-year-old girl that works at McDonald's. That's for the 75-year-old widow lady that draws Social Security. That's for the couple that makes $250,000 a year. The plan, the person, it's all of us. But look what the portion. Bring ye all the tithe. Bring ye all the tithe. What is the tithe? Well, it's 10%. I've been asked a lot of times, is that net or gross? What, do you want a net or gross blessing? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. To the storehouse. And I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll open the windows of heaven. Somebody said, I'm doing 3%. I'm doing 5%. He don't do windows for less than 10. Now look, the plan, the person, the portion. But look at this, the place. Bring y'all the tithes into the storehouse. According to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38, that's the local church. Somebody said, Pastor, I do my tithe and I do my giving to the TV evangelist. Well, that's not biblical. And here's the thought. Next time you get sick and in the hospital, give him a call. Yeah, give him a call. Let him come see you. He's not coming. Somebody said, oh, well, Pastor, I just don't know that I can trust the church to handle my resources. Here's the, find you a church you can trust. Find you a church you can trust. Because it's biblical to bring it to the storehouse. Bring it to the storehouse. Many times I'll go somewhere and preach. Somebody will come up and say, we love Pastor Benny and we want to give him our tithe. And I said, no, you're not giving me your tithe. You give it to your local church. You're not giving it to any ministry. You give it to your local church. You're not giving it to get my books. You give it to your local church because that's what's biblical, folks. Now, see, folks, God's appointed program for us. But don't you see something else? I'm almost done. Well, that may be true, may not. God's abundant provision for us. Listen to what this scripture says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and I'll open you the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Now, here's what we got to decide, folks. Do we believe that or not? Do we believe the Word of God or not? He promised us three things. He promised us, number one, plenty. He promised us plenty. I'll open the windows of heaven. Now, listen to me very closely. That open the windows of heaven is only found one other time in the Bible. It's Genesis 7:11, where God sent the flood. And the waters were 450 feet above the highest mountain. Now, let me get this. When I say God promised you plenty, folks, I'm not saying if you tithe, you'll become rich. And let me just say this while I'm on it, folks. I wouldn't be preaching it if I didn't do it. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't do it. And for you that are older in the faith, and I say this, a tithe is the floor, it's not the roof. It's a good place for us to start out, but we ought to always be trying to do more for the Lord. We ought to always be trying to do more for the Lord. Thank you, two people that clapped. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When God said He would bless us with plenty, that may not mean resources. That may mean your health. That may mean a lot of other things. That may mean God watching over your children. That may mean a lot of other things. I remember one night I preached in a church, and after the service was over, I was standing at the door. And as a man came out the door, his name was Mr. Glenn Bevins. Mr. Glenn Bevins said to me, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, Brother Benny, for years I went to church and I didn't tithe. But he said, I heard a message. I heard the Bible and I started doing it. And he said, I want to report to you now. Since I started doing that, all of my children have given their lives to Christ. What he was saying is God did open the windows of heaven. It wasn't the form of finances, but God opened the windows of heaven. And folks, God opened the windows of heaven for you too. I promise you. See, God said, I'll bless you with plenty. But folks, not only did he say he'd bless us with plenty, he said he'd bless us with protection. He said he'd bless us with protection. Look what verse 11 says. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what God said? He said, I'll protect your possessions. I'll protect your family. Think about this. Deuteronomy says this, folks. That when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, he preserved their garments. Well, their garments lasted 40 years. Man, those women never did go shopping, amen? Their shoes. Now, this is what the book says. The Bible says, as their feet grew, the shoe grew. So I can't believe that. Well, if you believe the Bible, you do. Can you imagine when that baby was born or a few months old, they put those little booties on? And then that little old booty just grew. But here's what I know, folks. If God can protect and preserve their clothes, well, why can't he protect your backhoe? Why can't he protect your piece of equipment? Why can't he protect things for us? Why, he does, folks. Many times we don't realize it, but he does. Maybe that's why the washing machine's lasted longer than you thought it should have. Maybe that's why the dryer just keeps on working. Maybe that's why the car just keeps on running. God's watching over and protecting you because you're doing what he said do. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. Now look, Cam, come here, son. Let's just say Cameron took some medication, some bad medication, and he got disillusioned, and he thought he was going to jump on me. Now look, the reality is, Cameron's in his 30s. I'm in my 50s. So no doubt, I'm sure he could take me. Look, he's much heavier than me. I'm sure he could take me. Tim, come here. Yeah, you, right here. Come here. Don, come here, Don. Stand right there, son. Come right here, sir. You're doing great. Don, come right here. Stand right here, Don. Yeah. Stand right there. Okay, turn around. Look this way. Okay. Tim, come right here, buddy. Okay. Now, look. Cameron said, I'm going to take Pastor Benny down. But these two guys said, yeah, you can, but you're going to come through us first. Now, look. Cameron's some dumb, but he's not plumb dumb. Amen? He was born at night, but he was not born last night. Cameron's not going to try that, are you, Campbell? Cameron's going this way. All of you can be seated. Look, folks. Look here. 1 Peter 5 and 8, the devourer is Satan. Satan wants to devour everything we've got. But here's what Jesus said. If you'll just do what I'm telling you to do, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. If you'll just do what I'm telling you to do, I'll rebuke the devourer. Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to see. If you'll just do what I'm telling you, I'll make what's left go a whole lot farther. I'll make what's left last a whole lot longer because I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And the devourer's Satan, and he may be a match for you, but he's no match for me. And listen, folks, he can't even rebuke the devourer in most Christians' lives because they're not doing what he said do. Amen. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. I get so frustrated with some of these politicians. You get them and they want to give this away and they want to give that away and they want to give this away and they want to give that away and they want to give this away. Let me tell you something, folks. The government doesn't have money. Anything the government gives away, they take from somebody else. Let's give free college to everybody. Who's going to pay for it? Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see, folks. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us if we'll do what God tells us to do. There's a promise of plenty. Oh, here's, I want to get back on that. Here's what gets me about some of the politicians. Somebody said, Preacher Benny, when you're preaching, do you ever forget what you're going to say? Oh, yeah, all the time. What do you do when you forget? I just talk till I remember. Here's what's amazing. They want to give away all your money, but then you run a background of on them, and they're giving less than 1% of their earnings. They're giving less than 1% of what they're taking in, but yet they want to give everybody else's money away. Those guys ought to be kicked out of office. God promised us plenty. God promised us protection. But God promised us parading, and I'm almost through. What are you talking about parading? Verse 12 says, and all the nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, there's a disease, folks. It's going around. And I don't want us to get it. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. See, when we do what God tells us to do, He'll parade us. And you say, how's it happen? Simply because God's blessed me. Let me tell you no story. There's no boy that got saved. He's making about $200 a week. $200 a week. That's what I made when I became the pastor of Rock Springs Church. $200 a week. I sold furniture to supplement my income. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit. He made $200 a week. He started tithing. And he'd give $20 a week to his local church. And God blessed him. And before long, he was growing. He was doing real well. And he got up to making $2,000 a week. And he went to see his pastor. And he said, Pastor, I got a problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, well, I'm making $2,000 a week, and I find it very hard to give $200 to the local church. And the pastor said, oh, you do? He said, yeah. Pastor said, well, let's just pray. He said, oh, I'm so glad, Pastor. I'm so glad. And he said, God, our brother's struggling. He's making $2,000 a week, and he just can't tithe. So, God, would you take him back to making $200 a week? He said, oh, no, preacher, quit praying that prayer. See, here's what I want to say, folks, as I wrap all this up. A message on tithing has nothing to do with money. Nothing. Nothing. You write it all off. It has to do of whether or not you trust God. And let me tell you something, Cameron, you're like a son to me. But Cameron, and I say to every one of my staff members, if you can't trust Him with your finances, don't you trust Him with your soul. If you can't trust Him with your finances, don't you trust Him with your soul. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to report to you, you can trust Him with everything. You can trust Him with everything. Somebody said, I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while He counted losses. I counted my worth by those things gained in store. He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I counted the honors. I sought the degrees. But He counted the hours I spent on my knees. And I never knew until one day by a grave how vain are the things we spend our lives to save. Here's what I want you to understand today. Friend, you can give every dime you've got away, and it won't take you to heaven. You can give everything you've got, and it won't take you to heaven. But if you will accept what the ultimate giver, Jesus, gave, you can go to heaven. Because Jesus gave his life on Calvary's cross. He bled on that cross for every sin that you ever have committed and for every sin that you ever will commit. You say, Pastor Benny, if Jesus died on that cross for me, what do I have to do? You've got to acknowledge you're a sinner. You've just got to realize you're a sinner. That wasn't hard for me. I felt guilty all the time. Before I came to know Christ, I felt guilty over the things I was doing. Nobody had to tell me they were wrong. I knew they were wrong because I felt guilty. And the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. You've got to acknowledge you're a sinner. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ died for every sin. You say, people won't forgive me, Pastor Benny. That's not what's important. What's important is God will forgive you. God will forgive you no matter what you've done. No matter how low you've gone. No matter how many times you've messed up. No matter how bad you feel about it. Ladies and gentlemen, God will forgive you. You say, my wife won't forgive me. My husband won't forgive me. My family won't forgive me. Maybe not, but God will forgive you. No matter what. No matter what. So we acknowledge we're a sinner. We believe that Jesus Christ paid our debt. And then we confess our sins to him. And ladies and gentlemen, when we do that, we're forgiven. Not because any preacher said it, but because God's word said it. So today, I often tell people, our giving won't take us to heaven, but our giving might take somebody else to heaven. And today, people have given. People have supported a church so that people just like you can hear the gospel that Jesus saves. Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.